Movement of the disciples in the first century was often called the Way. Why was it called the Way? Anyone want to? Why is it called the Way? Mentioned twice, I think, in the book of Acts. Why is it called the Way? Come on, David. Why is it called the Way?
It's a way of walking.
Way of walking. Unamas, another reason.
A journey.
Buddy, come on, buddy. Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and life. So it's one of the reasons. I think that's the follows away in Boston. I think that's their proof text. In any case, end quote. Or that's their proof text in the way. And so whether that's, you know, the right thing, but they call them followers of the way. I think we could be called, if we're following the Sermon on the Mount, followers of the narrow way. That's a little more appropriate, I guess. Just before the expression narrow way is given in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, a verse before that, it says that whatsoever you want men to do to you, you do likewise to them. And that's because they call it the Golden Rule, and I forget why they call it the Golden Rule. Because it's worth gold, perhaps. But anyway, that's something that we should do. My devotion this morning is entitled The Philippian Way. And the Philippian Way would entail certain things that we would esteem others higher than yourself, or myself, to live for Christ as die as gain, and to rejoice in the Lord. And I think at one of the Bible studies not too long ago, I got on my tangent, my hobby horse, talking about sports and how sports and competitive and contention is kind of bad. And Brother Walter Jr. was saying, well, what is so bad if it's, you know, like this? And so I did my homework, Walter, WJ, and 1 Corinthians 3, something like 1 Corinthians 1, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas. It said in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, you call yourself a Paul and Cephas, you're carnal. You are carnal. And so that's, you know, we're number one. It's all about pride. And so contention and rivalry is a sinful attribute to me, is it to others? But anyway, so much for the, in Philippians, esteem others higher than yourself. They say, I don't know how accurate it is, but they say today in this whole wide world there's 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion. And perhaps before this day, there was probably 8 billion who existed prior to today from Adam. And you know that God knows the hairs on everyone's head. Just think of 8 billion people. He knows the exact number of hairs on everyone's head. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. That's mind-boggling. Right now, God could count the hairs on not only this little group, but 8 billion people in the world. And he just rattled off the number of hairs on someone's head. And it's just so much for me. I'm just read a couple of verses from Isaiah 40, and then I'll start on the Philippians. Isaiah chapter 40, just a few verses from there, verses 25 to 31. And God is speaking to Isaiah. To whom then will you liken me? Or who shall be my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringing out their host by number. He called them by name, the greatness of his might. He calls them all by name, forgive me. By the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one fails. Why sayest you, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from the Lord. Hast you not known, hast you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is difficult to grasp. It's the three things. God's attributes: his power into all things, his knowledge, he knows all things, and his eternity. And eternity means no beginning. I mean, figure it. There's no starting point from beginning and no ending point of end. And some of you brothers, much more intelligent than I, you can understand. I mean, you can almost grasp, well, not really, but you can grasp from now, 2024, to eternity. It's on and on and on and no ending. But can we grasp there's no beginning? God's characteristic, he has no beginning. How can it, no beginning? I mean, they're both the same, right? The ending and beginning is eternal. But it's easier for me to think of no end eternally, future, forever. But going the other way, it's just no beginning. It's, maybe you brothers have a better grasp on it in your comments. You can say how no beginning. And that's the eternal God from Isaiah 40. And it's just so mind-boggling. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. That's my next thing. The Philippian way. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Those things which ye have heard, both learned and received, and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So in the Philippian way, he mentions certain things to dwell on. And usually when I'm sleeping at night before I go to bed, I want to think on something positive. I want to think of customers I had to live in pizzas, or the traffic, or worldly things, the wars going on. I want to think of something positive, and I think you do too. And so of those things, seven of those things, seven's a perfect number, I just mentioned some of the things that I think would hit each one. And there's probably more. Your comments or explanations could be much better than mine in this, but I'll just go over the first one. Whatever is true. By faith, we believe that God's word is true. Psalm 119. That's whatever is true. Whatever is honest. So I just thought of people who are honest, and I'm just hypothesizing people that I think would be honest, because God cares about each person, whether Old or New Testament. And I just wrote my heroes of honesty from the Old and New would be, and I'm just grasping or groping for this, would be Nathaniel. In Acts 16, Lydia, Phoebe, Esther, Joanna, your sister Joanna, Baruch, and you can go on and on. People that were just honest, and you maybe have, but you know, God cares about. He has all these litanies, these lists of people. Greet these people and that people. We don't know much about them. Quartus, a brother. That's all it says in Romans. Quartus, a brother. And that's honest. Pure. A good definition of pure, I take one sex, one from a man, one from a female, would be Joseph. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he said, how could I do this evil thing and sin against my God? And for a woman, or a young girl, I'll take Tamar, that is David's daughter. And when Ammon, who was a schemer, and he wanted to basically have relations with her, he overpowered her. She struggled, but he was overpowered, and he raped her. And then she just went out and put ashes on him and tore her dress and started screaming. She was pure in heart. Tamar was pure in heart, and so was in Joseph. And I use that in the sexual context, but Tamar was a good example for purity. Lovely. Or the church at Philippi, this is the Philippians, and the church at Philippi would be part of Macedonia. Now, those of Macedonia, they first gave themselves to the Lord, and after that they gave liberally. So their first thing was self-denial. They gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave money. Another woman that I think was lovely, is not many people would really label her, well, maybe they would be lovely, would be from the Old Testament, would be the harlot that approached Solomon. Two of them approached, this baby's mine, but this baby's mine. And so the one that was lovely, she said, it's her baby. She wanted to save that child. That was lovely, how she sacrificed that. I think that was lovely. Good report, Aquila and Priscilla. They risked their necks for the gospel's sake. Virtues. You sisters here who are striving to be a Proverb 31 woman, not just because of your head coverings, but because the inner spirit. And bless you. My heroes, that are, now it says of good report and things like that, my heroes, and I'm a broken record of this, my heroes would be the mother of the seven sons in Maccabees and the seven sons, how they suffered. How they were flayed alive and tortured, and they suffered a terrible death just because they wouldn't eat pork. Just because they wouldn't eat pork. Also, I do like Michael Sattler and his wife, Marguerite. And there were 21 people that were brought before the authorities there. 15 of them recanted. 15. But Michael Sattler, he did it. He, Pilgrim of Flame. He did it. I get emotional thinking about him. But when they had those cords strung around him, he said, I'll give the V sign or a victory sign to know that I'm keeping the faith. And he's pleading. Like he's burning, and finally burned the cord, and he lifted his arm up. And then his wife, you know, the wife Marguerite, the countess, or a very noble woman, said, we don't want you to be tortured the same way your husband was. Just we'll let you go if you do one thing. What was the one thing? Anyone know? Don't preach what you're preaching now on adult baptism. And just don't preach that. Just let you go. And she says, no, I can't do that. So she died the Anabaptist death. And the Anabaptist death bread is what? How did they kill the Anabaptist? Yeah, how did they die? No. Well, some of them did. Michael, see, you got a good point there, but most of them. No, drowned, yeah. You like baptism? You like water? Yeah, we'll give you an... That's the typical thing, was they drowned them to death, Anabaptist. What does the Greek say? You know the Greek, but they drowned them. It's not funny, but that's Marguerite Sam. And also the thief on the cross. You know, the thief on the cross probably lived an ungodly life, but there he was. He was being tortured, and he just said, praise your kingdom. And he was rewarded like that. Okay, I'm almost done. I just some thoughts on Philippians, but a few thoughts on non-resistance, because I've been listening I listened to it over 10 times. Dean Taylor's speech on the just war debate, it was so edifying. And you know Dean Taylor, some of his phrases that are well known was, okay, what's his first one that's well known, Dean Taylor? Yeah, what if Jesus meant everything he said? And then another one he said was, can one be a follower of Jesus if they are not following Jesus? And the two words Jesus said, follow me. Amen. And so he gave a message on politics and Christians, as well as Matthew Milioni had a debate on why Christians should not vote. And they were very exemplary. And a common phrase today, it was used 100 years ago and during President Woodrow Wilson's time and when he was running for president, was for Christians who were, even some of the Anabaptists were starting to get involved in voting. And I think I shared this, Max, at your house there. But the common phrase they used 100 years ago, and we're in an election year this year, is that things are getting just so bad that we must vote. Things are getting so bad we must vote. You know, that's a common thing. You even see horse and buggy conservative Mennonites and Amish. It was in 2024. In their buggies, they had little posters. Trump. Trump's the man. So some of them actually vote. You know, these are Anabaptists and very conservative, but they're voting for a political election. So I'm going to use some points. I'm almost done. But I said this one. But if you don't vote, we may lose our freedom, our possessions, our money. We may lose everything if we don't vote. You know, we want to hold on. When a Christian votes, he or she is not a servant or subservient to the powers of B. They are the powers of B. When we vote, we're not submitting to laws. We are telling the other people what the laws are. This is totally against the Sermon on the Mount. What? It is totally against the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Under Moses' covenant, fortune tellers, murderers, homosexuals, adulterers would be put to death. That's under Moses' law. But I say to you, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. When a Christian votes against abortion, same-sex marriages, pornography, and other evils, he is imposing a monetary fine and physical punishment against those offenders. Does that sound non-resistant? So we're going to vote, and when it commits abortion, you're going to pay a fine, you go to jail. If you're a homosexual, pay a fine, you're going to be shoved in by prison guards, and it's physical punishment. When we vote, and we got our way, we are not subservient to the powers of B, but we are the powers of B. We are. That's how we're physical punishment against these offenders. We're imposing that. Jesus said, Moses said, to pray for them, to love them, not to punish them. So what about, just about now, what about the Bible Christians? How did they feel about this? The Bible Christians, we read about them, you know, just in the New Testament. What about the early Christians up to Constantine? What about the Waldensians in the 12th century? What about the Lollards in the 14th century? What about the Anabaptists in the 16th century? What about the Moravians in the 18th century? Were they worrying about losing their possessions? Oh, no, we're going to lose it all. Yeah, pilgrims and strangers. What did Van Brandt say, one of the authors of The Martyr's Mirror? What did he say? What did he declare? The more dangerous times that we live in are the times when there's peace and laxity and no persecution. Brother Dijon, you could have been executed in Serbia. Don't you know that? You could have been executed in Serbia for obeying the Sermon on the Mount. Don't you regret that? Don't you regret that? Praise the Lord, brother. In closing, I just want to read Romans 8, 35 to 38. This is the one that Dean Taylor used at the Just War debate. Romans 8, 35 to 38. Brett, you were there. You were there? Yeah, you were there, and Will Leary and some of the other people. Okay. Romans 8, 35 to 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, here we go, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did he miss anything in that? Is anything missing in that? We're like sheep going to slaughter all the day long, and what is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. That all these things, death, life, angels, principalities, powers to come, cannot separate us from the things to come. This is our testimony. This is our testimony. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord if it comes down to martyrdom? Or are we going to say, no, I want mine. I want my house and I want my possessions and I want my all those things. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we're in a war. We're in a war. And let's strive to be victors through Jesus our Lord. The Lord be magnified. Any comments, corrections, go for it.
Brother Paul Cattain, those of you who know him, his health conditions are still going on and still kind of deteriorating. It's very difficult to be on the other side, you know, to watch and listen. And he's that verse that was read in Isaiah, he's kind of waiting on God to heal him and to be, delivered by him. So,
Robert, who do you want to pray for?
Paul Cattain.
Paul Cattain.
For those who know him. he's not able to eat. He's got issues with his stomach and his throat, and so when he tries to eat, he just, if he can get it down, it will go down, but then he throws most of it up and he just can't basically eat. They've tried so many things for so many years, and there's like a surgery they could do. I don't know if they could get it done in that country. He might have to fly to a different country, but basically cut off his valve in his stomach so it doesn't close, and then it would be kind of a lifelong thing. So he doesn't really want to do that. And so he just kind of doesn't really have the strength to work much anymore. Some days he has a little strength, some days he doesn't. Just walking to the market, one mile walk and back is just kind of too much. He has to rest for a while, and he's already a skinny guy, but he's lost a lot of weight still yet. But, and then Brother Jacko, I have two people in my life right now that have been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to think about how to lay all this stuff out in this modern day and age of like people that know the Lord and going through these things. I don't know how to rationalize all that sometimes, or not rationalize it, but just how to process it. So yeah, if you can remember them. Another man that we know that's suffering from brain cancer is, nobody here knows him. He lives in Crane. I guess they're going to be moving back to the Carolinas where they're from to be with his family. So it's just kind of weighing on me and our family a little bit. So.
Robert, did you say that Yako is terminal?
That's what you said. Yeah, they stopped all treatment. They can't do anything for this type of cancer.
They had looked pretty positive. There was this new machine, I guess, in the country that they had that was really cutting edge for cancer. But after doing some tests and stuff, they realized that the type of cancer that he has, it's not going to work, and so they stopped all treatment, and then he is same thing, just kind of seeking the Lord. He didn't really talk about it too much, about what they're doing or not doing. I know a couple years ago he had cancer on his shoulder, and he went on a 40-day fast. Then they went back and retested, the cancer was gone, so I don't know if he's doing that again or not. But he said, the Lord, my life is in the Lord's hands. So
maybe before we go on to another song or something, why don't we just stand and pray for these requests. Father in heaven, we believe that you are in authority and have power over all things in the earth, including sickness. And, That you're sovereign and that you have a way of accomplishing your perfect will in all people. And Father, we pray for Brother Paul Kutain. Pray, Lord, that you would just be with him in a special way and minister to him as he continues to suffer and labor through this affliction in his body. Pray that you would be merciful to him, heal him into your will. Even more than that, Lord, let your peace reign in his heart, that he could look to you for the healing and salvation of every spiritual and condition of the soul. And just pray, Lord, that you would bless him for the way he's been a blessing to brothers here and others in the world, and be with his wife and help her, give her wisdom too. We pray for Jocko also, Lord, that you would give him the grace to look to you, and I pray, Lord, for healing for him as well, according to your will. We know that you can do what is impossible or seems impossible, and all these requests that were mentioned, Lord, just minister to their hearts and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. There Levi.